Brian Haney.
So if you want sports talk that's more than just a score, you got to listen to Wade on KD Country 94. We got the tunes that'll make you shake and bake. Z96.3, The Lake.
Yes, sir. It's rapper extraordinaire and the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, our guest every Thursday right here on the Sports Ticket, brought to you by the fine folks at Anderson Insurance Agency. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or give them a call at 738-5701. Brian, how's it going today, man?
It's going good, other than I think we need a remix, man. It's basketball season now. That one never really had a good syllable scheme to it to begin with because it was off the cuff. So much like R. Kelly's remix to Ignition, it's way better than the original. We got to have a remix to this one. So how about for next week's episode, after we defeated Kentucky and Chicago, we'll come back and give you something fresh that you can play with a lot more pep to the step.
Ooh, I like that. I'm going to make a note here. Make sure, get Brian, rap KU Kentucky after the game next week. All right, that sounds good. That sounds like a plan. Okay, so let's start with football, and then we'll move on to men's basketball. Of course, the football program, as we know, has been struggling, and we've talked about each and every week, and there's been a few moments of some flashes to where you say, hey, something good is going to happen. But last week was not one of those. Baylor knocking out the Jayhawks 38-9. And, you know, the one thing that stood out to me, Brian, when I watched this game, and I just keep thinking about Todd Reesing. And the reason I keep thinking about Todd Reesing is Todd Reesing was an undersized kid from Texas, but he was a tremendous leader. He had a ton of moxie. He could throw the ball accurately, whether in the pocket or on the run, and he was underrated, tremendous leader. He could run when you really needed a first down. He lowers his head and get that first down. And really, honestly, KU, and I know Bender's trying, and I know Carter Stanley's trying, but KU, really, in order to really take a significant step forward, this is just my opinion, they've got to find another, not necessarily Todd Reesing, but they've got to solve the quarterback situation.
Yeah, you know, I think that there's a good amount of urgency in their recruiting efforts right now to prove that the quarterback of the future is not on campus right now. And that's nothing against the two guys you just mentioned. They just know that heading into the future, if they're going to win on a Reesing-like level, and I'm not talking about 2007 with 12 wins, but I'm talking about competing for bowl games in consecutive years, then they probably are still searching for that guy. Now, having said that, I don't sell Carter Stanley or Peyton Bender short at all. I think they could still make something happen next season. But we're starting to get a big enough sample size on both to say, okay, well, you know, we've got some guys we believe in, but is this the optimal potential for our offense right now, or do we need greater consistency? And so to your point, I think they are still searching. And Coach Beatty's been going all around the country searching. And we can't talk about recruiting specifics, but I mean, it's absolutely a paramount importance. And yet at the same time, you know, I'm still a believer Carter can spark this team down the stretch of the season. I did not see last Saturday coming in terms of some of the erratic passes. And he had a couple of drops in there, too. Not nearly as bad as the previous week when there were six or seven drops versus Kansas State. Some of these throws he just flat out missed, and I expect him to be much better going forward. Can't put my finger on why it happened. Obviously, he got banged up late in the game. But even early in the game, he just didn't look like his normal self. And so I think any year, you're always trying to go out and get that next big quarterback, and you're always recruiting over the heads of who you currently got. You can never have enough. It's the most brutal sport by the nature of the game, and you never know when your backup is suddenly QB1. They're always out to find that next great quarterback. But to your point, I think that has been something that probably has kept this program from experiencing significantly more success these last couple of seasons because they haven't had steady quarterback play. The closest thing they've had to it was Carter Stanley last November after the Ryan Willis experiment. Montel Cozart didn't work out. I thought he really, over a stretch of three games, gave them the best chance to win they'd had all season. And we're hoping for a similar month-long stretch here to close out this year. It didn't come last week like we were hoping for.
I heard some people, when KU lost to TCU prime time, and they only had 21 yards of offense, and it's easy for people to throw these things out there, but sometimes it seems to be at least accurate. And they said that KU had hit a new low. But I didn't necessarily agree with that at the time because of the things I heard from the players and the coaches after that game. Yes, it was very disappointing, and they didn't perform very well at all, and it was, you know, 21 yards of offense is just unheard of. But that was also a top five team on the road. But listening to the players afterwards, and I'm sure you heard Joe Dineen's comments afterwards, Daniel Wise's and others, and it's hard to be all peppy and ecstatic about your next few games when this is a game, a winless team comes to town, and even though they are winless, they're still a favorite in the game. And for you, one, not to win the game at home against Baylor, which looks winnable before it starts, but then two, to get beat the way KU got beat by a winless Baylor team, what is the psyche of this squad? Because you got three tough games coming up. At Texas, you know the Longhorns are going to be ready after what happened last year. Oklahoma at home, we know how good they are. At Oklahoma State, it really seemed like the team was really, really down afterwards, some of the players. And they were honest, saying, hey, they just kicked our butt.
Yeah, I think that in terms of what the psyche is at right now for this Kansas football team, I can only go off of the three or four players that we talk to each Tuesday, and I'm not in that locker room, not seeing any hanging heads or anything like that.
Sure.
And from what I hear, there aren't too many of those hanging to be seen as it is, but talked with Dorrance Armstrong at length on Tuesday. He said everybody's still fighting. You know he is, and you know he's the type of guy that's not going to accept any slippage around him, otherwise he's going to call you on it. And then we had a little bit of that, I think, earlier, that he got snuffed out pretty fast. And then I saw Mason Riberty for about 10 minutes the other day, too, and we talked. And, you know, I think, as we've discussed on many of these reports, there was ever a season where we found out the importance of the center on a football team. It's been this one. And you know, he mentioned that they're still bought in and they're frustrated, but at the same time, they still feel like there's tremendous opportunity in these last three. So I think from a mental standpoint, a motivational standpoint, they're absolutely still there. I think one thing that helps as you look at the daunting task of the gauntlet that you just mentioned in front of them is the fact that many of the players they defeated in Texas uniforms a year ago on November the 19th of 2016 are the same guys on this current Texas team. It's a different coach. Obviously, the venue will be much tougher being on the road. But I think that gives these guys some confidence. And, you know, if this one doesn't go well and it's ugly like the TCU game was, that maybe that psyche question will be even more relevant next week. But I think they're still up, not because they think they got these guys or anything like that, but I think they realize, hey, this was the high water mark for all of our careers, for our coach's career and everything. We know, mano a mano, we can line up across from these guys and have success. It's going to be a lot tougher, and obviously Texas is a whisker and an eyelash away from being a 7-2 team right now. But I think they feel like, you know, this is one that's got a chance to go down there and shock the confidence. And so they're still bought in. But you're right. I mean, you know, if Kansas is considered a heavy underdog in this one, just wait for the next 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Unless they change the narrative this week. And if you change the narrative this week, that could change the outlook for the final 3 weeks. Absolutely. But clearly, when you got two, you know, top 15 caliber pros still to come, it's definitely standing back to actually as the toughest stretch this schedule had to offer.
Well, there's one thing's for sure. Texas is not looking past KU this year, and they've made a few comments about last year. Nothing bulletin board material, but you know, it's only human nature. I mean, when you and I played in sports back in junior high school, I mean, you remembered who beat you, and you talked about the free throw competition. I mean, we remember who beats us. We want to pay them back. We want to beat them if we get another opportunity. And there's no question that Texas is, I think, looking forward to trying to pay back Kansas a little bit. So Kansas is definitely going to have to bring it coming up on Saturday. You can listen to that one on Z96.3 The Lake, the home for the Jayhawks here in North Central Kansas. I want to turn our attention to the men's basketball program. The exhibition game the other night against Fort Hays State, not a great exhibition for KU, but it is just an exhibition. Open up the season tomorrow night against Tennessee State. And Bill Self, you know, just talking about Sfi and also Malik, he tried to send a message the other night, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. You know, and Malik's a guy that I still feel like is going to be an all-conference caliber player. And really, while he was lumped in on that, I think Sfi was the guy that had the message coming maybe with a few more days advance notice of him needing to bring in a little bit more. And Malik kind of got lumped in there. But, you know, Coach had told me in the pregame interview, if you listen right here on your home of the Jayhawks in Glen Elder and Beloit, that it was a situation where for Malik, he feels like he plays a lot at 3/4 speed. Yeah, you hear about half speed a lot. You hear about full speed. You hear about giving 110%. I've not heard too many coaches reference 3/4 speed.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it feels like he's a guy that is as great a natural scorer as any. And said that, you know, while he doesn't look like Jeff Boshy and there's many differences to their games, in terms just a pure scorer from the two-guard spot, he thinks he's like a Jeff Boshi, with maybe even more explosive. And yet, to be everything he could be as a complete player, he's got to be at 100% speed all the time. And it's not that he's dogging it. It's just there's an extra intensity level that Bill Self's trying to pull out of him that I'm not sure he's been coached to before, whether it be at Mississippi State with Ben Howland or before that as a prep player. And it's just a matter of Self keeping his thumb on him to get the most out of him. In Steve's case, he just wants Steve to play to his athleticism. He says, go get your head on the rim. And by that, he means don't go stick your head on the rim, but get up above the rim. Make plays where you're leaping over guys for offensive and defensive rebounds. Make plays aggressively and assertively offensively. Don't let the play always have to come to you and wait for the play to develop on your side of the floor. Move without the ball. Take initiative. Be assertive. All those things. And he's got two guys right there that clearly are probably two of the top 15 players in the conference, if not that, two of the top 20, okay? And yet they both sat to watch the second half to get that message sent to them. And I think that also speaks to the confidence he has in Marcus Garrett right now as a true freshman. So I thought it was a good time to send a message and have a lesson learned, especially when you're taking on a D2 foe in an exhibition game where you know you're ultimately going to win anyway. You can afford to watch Sweet. You have to sit there and watch his teammates for the first 7 minutes of the second half. But you hope that those types of messages resonate before 4 days from now when you're in Chicago taking on the number 4 team in the country, the Wildcats.
Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, brought to you by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by, see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill and Beloit, or give them a call at 738-5701. Back to Sfee for a moment. We were talking about this the other day after the exhibition game, and I don't know if this is fair, but I'd like to get your point on this or your take on it, is I kind of compare Sfee to Tyshawn Taylor, not because of the way they play, but Tyshawn Taylor, as you know, was kind of an enigma during his career at the University of Kansas. He had his flashes of brilliance, and you're like, wow, that's unbelievable. And then he would just have those times where, whether he wasn't focused, whether he didn't move his feet on defense, or the turnovers, and then, of course, there was some off-the-court issues for Tyshawn from time to time. But his senior year, it finally clicked about probably midway through his senior year. He played great basketball, and KU went all the way to the national championship game. The comparison I made and why I put Taylor with Sfee is that Sfee's kind of been a bit of an enigma too, in my opinion, because he has those flashes like Tyshawn. He'll have those games against K-State where he's filling it up. I hear he's an unbelievable shooter. But yet in ball games, we'll see those flashes where he'll block a shot from behind defensively. He'll go up and sky for a rebound. But we just haven't seen enough of those flashes. And he's running out of time to show us all that consistently. I guess the word that keeps coming back for Sfee is consistency, isn't it?
It really is. And I think, you know, part of that is he's still a 20-year-old kid. He came in so young.
Yeah.
You think of him like Devontae. Devontae's 23.
Yeah.
You know, and so there's still some of that consistency progress that you need to see sustained for him. It may be a surprise the fact that he's a little bit younger, but I think if there was ever incentive to get that on a game-by-game, day-by-day basis, it was the sobering reality at the end of last season when he tested the NBA draft waters that, you know what, you've got a lot of nice tools and you've got a lot of wonderful potential, but we don't want you yet and we don't think you're ready yet at the next level, and you need to hone that and you need to find a way to really capitalize on one more collegiate season and then enhance your draft stock so that you're not one of those guys that gets undrafted and then has to go back home overseas. I think in his mind, you know, part of coming over here was, hey, playing at Kansas is going to get me into the association and get me where I've always dreamed of playing. Mm-hmm. And if I ever have to get back home to play there professionally, it might be considered a failed experiment. Now, you can still have a very fruitful career over there.
Yeah.
Obviously, he went back home and played on the Ukrainian national team this past year, averaged 21 a game, and was a hero. But part of the whole experiment of coming over to Kansas and the United States was to be an NBA guy. And I think he realizes that this is the golden opportunity now, and there's no additional sample sizes beyond this season to show NBA scouts as his readiness. And he has to make the most of it. And I think much like what you said with Tyshawn Taylor, we will see a season where he puts it all together. But, you know, the fact that coaches were sending messages and stuff like that here early in the year shows maybe he's not quite going to hit the ground running as fast as we would have hoped when we were first talking about it back in Italy when he joined up with the team following his Ukrainian experience and all that. So I still have high hopes for him, and obviously, I mean, we've got 6 months in front of us here where he can really make things happen. But for me, I think it's like you said, it's about that assertiveness. It's about playing to his athleticism, because he's a way better athlete than he just looks getting off the bus. Mm-hmm. And he's one of those guys that, you know, he wears the undershirt underneath the jersey and kind of looks like a skinny European kid, but he's got some ups now. And while he did lose about 15 pounds or so in the offseason initially, he's putting that back on. And, you know, it's pretty a hoot. If you ever see her in the field, I'll have her show you the before and after pics on the body they inherited and where he's currently at in terms of his physical workout goals and all that. I mean, it's night and day, and you don't see that just looking at him, but he's got it in there, man. So I think it's all about tapping into that and then really seeing him flourish to the degree that we all feel he's capable of. And I think that's coming this year. I really do.
How important is Fee to this team in regards to accomplishing the goals? And, of course, the goals at Kansas every year is win the Big 12, which that's pretty much standard, 13 years in a row and counting, making it to the Final Four, which has been tough, run into the Elite Eight a lot of times, and then, of course, ultimately cutting down the nets for the national championship. And I ask this question because, back to the comparison, Tyshawn Taylor on that team, there wasn't as much depth on that team back when Tyshawn and Thomas Robinson and Withy went to the national championship game. Plus, Tyshawn has the ball in his hands a lot more than Svee does. So if Tyshawn Taylor didn't put together the season he did that year, they don't go to the Final Four. Whereas here, Svee has more help on this team, it appears, although you do have a couple young guys in Preston and Garrett. You don't know how they're going to be down the line under pressure later in the year. But how important is Svee to Kansas accomplishing those goals? Because I think some people could argue they have enough depth to where if he is what he was last year, okay, you could still go deep in the tournament and maybe still accomplish their goals. But boy, if Svee can figure it out like you just talked about, this puts this team at another level, doesn't it?
It does, and I think he really explodes. He's probably still the fourth best player on the team mm-hmm. in terms of guards, and maybe the fifth best or sixth best when you add in Udoka and Billy. And that's saying something, because that's telling you that I think Lajarrell Vick is significantly ahead of him, and I think Malik will stay ahead of him, and obviously Devontae is. And so in terms of guard importance, he is fourth on the list. It's where your Tyshawn Taylor comparison stops, because it's not like it hinges as much on him as it does right. Tyshawn did back in 2012. But your comparison of could they put it all together as a senior and be a breakthrough guy that gets Kansas, you know, to the final game, I think that's accurate, because there's going to be games where he has to be the guy that steps up and leads you on a given night, takes and makes that clutch shot in crunch time. And you look at Kansas the other night against a D2 foe, take out Devontae Graham, 6 of 10 from 3. The rest of the team was 3 of 21. And 0 of 7 came from Svee. Yeah. There's going to be a night when Devontae's not hitting. Heck, we've seen two of them already this preseason when Devontae hasn't been hitting. And you need Svee to be that guy if it's not going to come from Malik or LeGerald that steps up and guides you. And I think while he's not your typical senior leader, because, you know, he speaks fine English, but he's not going to be a huge vocal guy, because sometimes you can't understand him as well and all that, he can still, through his actions, lead, and through his experience and maturity, be able to go out there and be a guy that makes everybody else on the floor, you know, more calm and comfortable in crunch time moments, because, hey, he's been doing this for 3+ years now at a high level here. So I think he's not, you know, the key catalyst, you know, the end-all catalyst on this team, and might surprise folks how far down in the pecking order he currently is. But over the course of 35 or 40 games, there's going to be 5 or 6 nights where he has to be the guy for this team. And there's going to be 2 or 3 nights where he might take the biggest shot of the night. And Bill Self will tell you, man, he'll let it ride with Svee on hitting a game winner, because what they see in practice every day is a guy that's as good a pure shooter as we've seen in a while. It just hasn't always translated as often as he'd like it to within the game. But I tell you what, it's going to come, and you know, the signature moment of his career right now is that game winner versus K-State, where everybody thinks he took 4 steps, and he probably did. They were Euro steps. He got a great 2 on the American currency. But what's funny is, I mean, that was a driving lay-in, right?
Yeah.
Mark my words, put this in your file that you play back on those promos. He's going to hit 1, maybe 2 jump shot game winners at some point this season for Kansas. And it might not be a buzzer beater, but it might be a shot in the final minute to put Kansas on top for good or breaks the back of the opposition. But, I mean, I think he's got that cold ice water running through his veins, you know, stone cold killer mentality. We just haven't seen Kansas need that because last year Frank or Josh might take that shot. And this year Devontae is going to be the first one hunting that. But at some point, the other senior is going to be asked to do that. And I think he'll do it on at least one, maybe two occasions.
Well, what he needs to do, somehow you guys got to get him to visualize that every opponent is Kansas State, because it seems like the Wildcats bring out the best in Svee. Some of his best games have been against Kansas State, but there's certainly he hasn't his ceiling. We know that there is the potential for him to realize that and be more consistent. And as you said, be a big part of this team here this season. All right, time for an off the wall question for you, Brian. The time change occurred. Hopefully you adjusted. You would have to, or you'd be in trouble with your job. We fell back. Of course, we spring forward. What are your thoughts on the time change, and do you think it affects you or anybody that you work with?
Yeah, I noticed that I woke up a little bit early the first few days of the week because my body clock was still a little bit off. I, for one, don't like it because I hate losing that hour of daylight. It's not as fun when you get in the car and it's already dark and you're heading home. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm still going outside to play basketball in the driveway like I used to as a kid, but I know your boys, especially Miller, hate it when, you know, you switch the clocks back and all of a sudden when they get home from school, they got like 20 minutes to get up shots before it's nighttime, you know, and that was something where whenever it's on the other side of daylight savings, you get that extended hour and there's more time to play ball or whatever, boy, that was the highlight of the spring for me. So I, for one, would just assume keep it the same way like they do in Arizona, right?
Yes.
But not a huge issue either way, because, you know, when you're an adult, we're working during those hours anyway. But I don't know. I think it's just something that brings out brighter personalities and more smiles when you got more sunshine and earlier darkness. I think it kind of puts everybody in a little bit of a funk until you adjust to it.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So are you able to do Friday basketball and then you're going to hurry down to Austin for the football game? Are you able to get both in?
Yeah, I will always do every game I can possibly physically get there for. And last year it killed me to not get to do the Indiana game to open the season because we had a football conflict. And it literally took an entire oceanic body of water, you know, to keep that from happening. Had it been anything within the Continental 48, we would have pulled it off. But because it was Hawaii to Lawrence for an early kick versus Iowa State, we just couldn't do it. In this case, both this Friday and the Friday here in 2 weeks where we go to Stillwater the next day, we're going to pull it off. And I'm excited about that. So it'll be some fast and furious travel, but hopefully some winning and a lot of fun on the call right here in Glen Elder, Beloit, across the state.
Well, we look forward to listening to the call Friday night and also on Saturday for the football game. Brian, always appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Get that rap going next Thursday, brother. I look forward to it.
I've got it highlighted, buddy. Take care.
See you, bud.
That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks, the best in the business, and he is brought to you every Thursday at this time by Anderson Insurance Agency. They do farm, home, auto, life, and crop insurance. Stop by and see Matt and Michelle, 118 North Mill in Beloit, or call them 738-5701.